Good morning. Today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Aleph, and we're here in Masechet Bavli Kama, almost at the end, Perek Asiri HaGozelu Ma'achil, and it is the 12th day of the Omer Tovshin Samach Tet, and we're up to Omer Beit, Kuf Yud Gimel Omer Beit, Machriz Rava, three lines from the bottom, and we are off. Machriz Rava, the Tamer of Huna. Rava felt it was essential to announce the following halakha, and he addressed it to those who are salkin la'ila and those who are nachtin la'tata. Whether you're going up to Eretz Yisrael, you take this halacha along with you. You're going down to Bavel, you take this halacha with you, because it's absolutely clear. Psak, Abar Yisrael. The other side, duta l'kute, v'loteva omine. You're in a position in which you know testimony. And it's not that you got a summons that he summoned you. And you go and you offer the testimony for the benefit of a kuti against a ben Yisrael. Va'azal va'asidle bedine de kuti, and you go into a kuti court, which is dan keneged din teire, against Yisrael chavre. Mishabtina, like such a person is put into nidui. My taima, because inu mafki mamona apum rechad, those types of courts do not respect the din of two aden. And therefore, even though he's coming only on his own, and he figures, well, you know, I'll just be a nice guy, but there won't be motzi mazatruda, motzi moment I'll be. But this halacha is only said b'chad, aval betrelo. If we're talking about two people, so then ain't achinami. It's a kosher edut, and the din would be correct. Even though lamaisa, we said earlier, you can be mafkias, Tassus points out halva from a kuti. So, essentially, you're taking money that didn't have to be paid, because the Yisrael was able to be mafkiyah. But in any event, the point over here is that you're not mishamtina for that. Because Labaisa, if he pays money that is owed, it's nothing, it's not geneva. So, for causing him to pay such a thing where he's not mafkiyah, certainly not going to be mishamtina. Inu nami chad amum teshadule. Furthermore, this is Dafka talking about Magi court, which is the magistrate today, so that you have the local guy who essentially doesn't really know what he's doing, but he's the justice of the peace and so on, and as long as he's got a gavel, it's okay. Erachinami, they will be done al piyed achara and so on, but if you're going to the post office, I mean, that's different. Beidavar originally meant a official government post, the post office. You go to the Beidavar, Idunam Echad, Amum Teshadulei, they too keep the halakha of one witness only forcing a shvua. We were learning by Rav Huna. I asked him, well, how about an Adam Chashuv, the Samchei Alekivetre? You see, they very much look at the how respectable the person that's giving the edut is. I mean, if it's somebody that's, you know, a community leader, he certainly wouldn't be lying, and therefore they don't apply the same standards across the board. So in that case, it would be mafki mamona apume. So do we say, because it makes such a good impression on them, they would take money away from someone on that basis, in which case lo yiboy le'gesude, he should not testify. Do we say, the very fact that he's chashev would create such a sensation if he refuses to come to be made, that it's more kedai for him to go to be made. Take him. Om Rav Ashi. You know, by the way, you know, there's a very beautiful pirush of the Oruch on the word teku. There's a lot of, the portion of meaning is teku means tekum. Let that stand. But the Oruch learns that it comes from the word tik, and it means file that away. Which is a very modern expression. Because once it's filed away, nobody's going to answer. Omer Vashi, Hai Bar Yisrael. Another case which we attempt to avoid, and we'll put somebody to cheret, a guy sells a property to an Ovik Yochovik. But he's a Bar Yisrael. This property is located on Mitzvah, the Bar Yisrael Chavre. It's located on the borders of a Ben Yisrael, who his friend, who he's responsible to. In that case, we will put him into Nidui. In my time, and why is this? If you're going to tell me, I mean, since you called it on Mitzvah, the Bar Yisrael, is it Mishom Dina, the Bar Mitzvah? Remember that there is a Takona that you must always offer right of first refusal to a person who is a neighbor to the piece of property that you're selling, because to him it's worth more. So over here where you sell it to an Akum, the Akum is not going to respect the din of the Bar Mitzvah. So therefore you bring mafkia, the rights from him. So is that the reason? But that doesn't apply, because Ha'amamar Zavin Me'akum, or Zavin Le'akum, Le'kabishum din of the Bar Mitzvah. There is no din of Bar Mitzvah in cases where the person himself that is involved in the sale is not mechuyev to be v'asita yashar v'atov, as I expected. The whole din of Bar Mitzvah is because of the moral obligations that humans have one to another. But that's part of the deeper social contract. If you're not involved in that type of sale, there's no din of Bar Mitzvah. A lot of discussion on both ends of it, why it applies to both ends. But in any event, there certainly wouldn't come to be meshamet him for the din of Bar Mitzvah when an akum is involved. Ela, the amrei le, it's because his neighbor will say to him, Arba'ita le Aryam, that's right. You have basically set up a lion-keeping zoo on my border. These guys do all kinds of things. Get away with murder, walk off with my stuff. And Mishamtin le, it's not that we put him into nidui for what he did. It's that Mishamtin le adekobla le kol unzadati machmate. We make him responsible. So the nidui over here is a nidui that is taken off only after he agrees to cover all damages that are caused indirectly by his having made such a commission. So suppose now the Mechis, which has a din of a gazlan, walks off with a guy's chamor, and then they give him back a chamor, but that's not the same chamor that they walked off with. It's like a child services. You know? So they give they give him back a chamor. Natlu listim et kisuto. The highway robbers stole his suit. And they gave him back a suit, but it's not the same what they stole. Right, now, clearly what they gave him back was not taken from Gap. I mean, it was stolen from somebody else. So the question is, can he take it? We said before that in cases of matzah b'yadam, you're allowed to take it. I mean, but over here, tzedavar misuyam, perhaps it still belongs to the owner. No. You can keep it, mipnei sheba'alim mityashim mihem. Because the assumption is that the ba'alim are mityash. Now, ha'matzil min ha'nahar, o min ha'gayas, o min ha'listim. Somebody who saves something that was being flooded away, or was being taken away by an invading army, or by listim, where the guy himself and nobody else would have been able to deal with this. So, im nityashu ha'ba'alim harei elo shalom. If we know that the Baalim had been Miyayesh, then he keeps it. Now, the Gemara is going to ask, we just said, in the case of Listin, that the Baalim are Mityashim, not if they're Mityashim. So why all of a sudden, in the next paragraph, does the Mishnah say if they're Mityashim? Okay, this we'll see in the Gemara. So if we know, apparently is what it means, that the Baalim are Mityashim, then you keep something. The same thing would be true about a Nechil Shel Devarim. You have a swarm of bees that have left your own beekeeping rishos and are now going somewhere else. See, im nityashu, if somebody else picks up that swarm after it settles, harei elu shalo, omer Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, de'emenet ishau katad nomar, mikan yatsa nechil zeh. Even a woman or a minor is believed to say that I saw this swarm come from that rishos. And in that case, there's also halach ma'alach b'toch stechavero la'atzilat nechilov. It is mutter for a person to invade someone else's field in order to bring back a hive. Ve'im izik v'shalim hashizik. I mean, obviously he has to take responsibility for any damages caused, but he can't go out to cause damage. And if he doesn't have the wherewithal to pick up the hive, darn it, he can't cut down the tree or a branch and move it back because he's chicken. I mean, if he's going to take his hive, he's got to take the hive. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel, even if his intent was, I'm not intended to tamim, even if he wasn't thinking of not paying, I'll pay, of course. But he didn't. It's a right to cause damage, I'm not to pay. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Omer, Af Kotzeitz, V'notedet Adamim, you even have a right to cut down a person's branch and to pay. We'll see this was a special takana, not normal dinner. Says the Gemara Tana, Im Natal, Machzir Ba'alim Arishonim. If you accept the chamor or the suit that they return to you, you give it back to the original owner. And that means, Sekazava Yush Kiti Lo Kani. So clearly, the Brita said, with Yush he wasn't Kone. In which case, Mi Ikora Bi Yisura Ataliyati. That means that when he received it, he received stolen goods. He received stolen goods before Yush. Even if subsequently he knows that there was Yush, that doesn't help anymore. We don't have a Yush and a Shino Rishos here. The question over here is, this type of Yush is not considered to be Kinyan. We'll see later on whether this means Bechlal Yush, because, I mean, to say Yush Kedi Lo Kani doesn't mean that Mi'ikor B'Surah Ataliyah. If you would hold Yush Kedi is Kani, then why do you have to talk about whether it was Shino Rishos or not? B'Surah Ataliyah, I mean, that's not the point. It belongs to the guy. Remember, until now we've been very careful to distinguish between Yush Kedi and Yush Rishido Rishos. So, we're going to be using the words over here about Yush, but Lamaisa, the question is, in a case where it would be Yush followed by Shinoi Rishos. In this case, this is how the Miri understands the sugya throughout. That when we say Zakon, we mean a Yush like this, where the Shinoi Rishos comes in this fashion. You know, where you know what you're receiving. The Pasht of the Gemara is, if Yush isn't Kaina, so then that would mean that when he got it, he got things that he knew were stolen goods, and what happened to Yush Kedi Rishos? You see the problem with the words Kedi. That's not the issue. We don't have Yush Kedi. Alone, without anything else. We don't have Yush alone in this case. What it means, all we're trying to say is that since the Moches, the Gazel, wasn't Canaan, so in this case, it came into his hands when he accepted it, he accepted stolen goods. And therefore, he's Bechuya for the acceptance. Doesn't mean that there's no Kinyan at the end. The Ikri Amre, others say that it doesn't mean that he's mechuyev to give it back. If all the Gemara's, the Brita meant to say is that if he's going to be machzir, meaning he feels that it's incorrect for him to keep it since he knows whose it is, even though the maaseh was not utterly out of Yisur. So what it means to say is, im ba lahachzir, if he wants to return it, so who should he return it to? Don't give it back to the guy who gave it to you, for heaven's sake. You say, well, no, I don't want to accept stolen goods. He accepts all goods, give it back to the guy. So in that case, since he feels bad, the Omri, if he says to himself that my taima, Yush Kedi actually was Kaina, and he didn't get stolen goods, Miu, he Amari Yevshi Bemomach, and initially he feels immoral about keeping money that belonged to someone else, then who should he be Mazir to? Bali Marishonim. Now, the Mishnah says, Arayel Shalom, Mipnei Shabalim Ityashim. The Pashas of the Mishnah is that we take for granted that the Baalim are Miyayish. Om Ravashi Lo Shonu El Listim Oved Kochavim. Avo Listim Yisrael Lo. If the Listim, that is mentioned in the case of here, we said, Mochsin or Listim et Kisuto. So if those Listim are Yisrael, so then the guy figures, why should he be Miyayish? Some of the machas kit lebedina. There's always the chance of bringing them to din and taking it from them. In that case, we would not say that minastam he was miyayish. Mat kit lebrav Yosef adarab eiprim astar. Isn't it? It's just the opposite, no? A Yisrael, you're going to take to a Jewish court. And what are they going to do? They're going to say, give back the money. Okay, sure, you're out of. See you later. The guy in Shakur will beat the living stuffings out of the guy, and I'll give back the money. So when we say Zadarab, we say Akum Adayana Begiti. They have Gaiva and they do what they want. So over there he figures he can get it back. Well, my eyes, Yisrael. What are they going to do? They're going to say, Amri Meimar, great. So it's like calling the cops. You'll never get anything back. So over there he's Miyayish. Ella, it must be therefore Yitbar Sefer Yitbar. Hamatzil Mina Akum Umen Alistin. Im Nityashu Balim Im. And notice the problem here. The Sefer says that the din is over here, that if you know that the Baalim were Miyayish, so then, only then, you can assume that it's yours, but Stam alone. It was on that Ravashi said, Loshanu ala Akum. That explains why we make it dependent, because since you're dealing with an Akum, Mishu the Daine Begiti, he knows that he can get judges that will force it back. So over there, you have to hear that he was Miyayish. And if you don't hear he was Miyayish, you can't assume he was Miyayish. But if you're talking about a Jew, he knows he's never going to get it back. So listen, Yisroel, given the Amri Meimar Miyayish. It's not our time. Orot Shabbat Abayit. This is a mission we've dealt with many times. It's based on the idea that if you have something that's Kedem Gemar Balavta, So that yored the detuma bebachshava. So let's say that you have raw skins. Once you determine you're going to use that for a tablecloth, now it becomes a clean. It's a mekabel tuma. Until that time, it won't be mekabel tuma. Who can be the one to define what something is? It has to be the owner. So if it's an orot of a personal guy, so then his machshav is metame. If it's orot of a tanner, so then the tanner, the intent of the tannery obviously is to sell. So even if he uses it, that's not considered to be that he views it as gemar malacha. He's just waiting for an order to come in. Somebody comes in and says, I like that one, make it into a pair of shoes for me. So then obviously that's what he's going to do. In which case, if he's an avdan, in machshava metamatan, he is not considered to be the final word, just because he uses it, shel gazlan. That's interesting, because of course this will be an indication. That's why we can bring it here. It would be an indication who the real owner is. So the gazlan who thinks to use it, since it's not his, so ein machshava mitamatan. But a ganav, we're over there. It's hopeless because the guy must be miyayish, since he figures, how am I ever going to find the burglar? A gazlan, I know who it is. So a ganav. The machshava is metame, because over there, the owners are meyayish. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, on the contrary, a gazlan, the gazlan's machshava is metamatan. Shel ganav, in machshava, metamatan. The gazlan, he saw he wasn't able to do anything about the guy in the first place. So over there, the problem is that it's considered to be his because he's meyayish, because he's given up and being able to use force. The ganav, he knows that if he could just find out who it is, there's always a chance it can be traced. So over there, he's not miyayish. So here we have two completely different approaches to the psychology of yush between the Chachom and Rabbi Shimon. We've seen this often before. Omar Ula, so Ula says, but this is only machloket bestam. I mean, if lemaisa you heard the guy say, I am a Yayish. So it's irrelevant whether we're dealing with a Ganav, whether we're dealing with a Gazan. In other words, we are not dealing with a level of psychological understanding in which we're willing to say that even his expressed Yush is not really Yush. Whereas Rabba Amar, no, that's not true. The point over here of the Machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbonan is to understand the inner meaning of what the person views the situation as. And therefore, if you hold that he's not miyayish, it's because, even though he's saying he's miyayish, the hope that he holds out is the opposite of yish. So there is a real machlokas here, not just a question of, circumstances. So biyadua nami machlokas. Even though he said he's miyayish, it's not really yish. Omale Abaya la Rabba, so Abaya told Rabba, I have a word of advice for you. Lotif lagale de ula. It's not worth it for you to get involved in this machlokas with Ula, who says that if we know for a fact that the yush took place, then obviously it did. Because, I mean, it just happens to be a mission of the Feirish that says, like Ula, I don't think you want to get into that kind of situation. It's not about the gamate. Read our Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say over here? Lefi shalo nityashua ba'ali. Now, what does that mean? Taima dolo nityashua ba'ali. The point of the Mishnah is that the reason that you can't take it is because the Baalim were not miyayish. Okay, but that's clear that if the Baalim were miyayishim, then obviously he would have agreed. I mean, look at Reb Shimon's lashon. Machshava mitamatam lefi shalo nityashua Baalim. Now, how can you say it more clearly than that? Then nityashua Baalim certainly arelo shalo. So what are you saying? Says Rav. Well, I'll tell you what I'm saying. The way I read the Mishnah, the meaning of those words when they say shalo nityashua Baalim means, because I'm telling you, Shalom et Yashua Baalim, that's the point. It doesn't mean that he actually changed the girsa. That's how he understands the words of the Mishnah. I'm telling you, Lonit Yashua Baalim. But they said they were. It's just an expression of frustration and anger. The guy says, ah, this is just crazy. Now I lost this. But he doesn't really mean that he's not holding out hope for recovery. So it's not. Let's take a look at the Mishnah here. And the gazlan. Now, you can read this Mishnah, okay? There's obviously two cases. Case of moches, where we know that the moches is going around openly doing what he's doing here. So we view that moches as one situation. And then the other situation is a gazlan. Now, I mean, I'm assuming that the meaning of the gazlan is that the guy goes around, with a mask over his face and and he's the masked robber. So he's a ganav. Basically, we don't know who he is, and he's afraid of people, and so that's a classic ganav, right? So now, if that's the case, the Mishnah is specifically addressing both a gazlan and a ganav. And now I'd like you to explain who the Mishnah is going according to. Money. So, Irabanan, Kasha Gazlan. I mean, our Mishnah that says that there are Baalim et Yashimim. There's a given Baalim et Yashimim. I thought according to the Rabbanan, the Baalim mit Yashimim, they're not going to be mit Yash. According to Rabbi Shimon, the case of the Mochis, the case of the Gazlan is the problem. Because over there would be Kasha, he's really a Ganav compared to into the case of the Mochis. So, there's obviously got to be a way to make the Mishnah work. I mean, so according to Ula, Ula says that, look, the Machlokas is only where you don't know. But if it's Biyadua, so we should have Ula Adomer Biyadua Kani. So we could say, we're talking about a case of Yadua. So Achinami Biyadua, and therefore could be going to everybody. Reb Shimon is made, the Chachamim are made, that there is no case where a guy expresses that he is Meyayish, that we would say it's a problem, Bisurah to the Yadeh. But according to Rabbah, who claims that even be a duet to machloket, so then the Mishnah doesn't work out according to anybody. Hamani, lo Rabbanan, v'lo Rabbi Shimon. Says the Gemara, why? It works out very well. Because even though it says listim, what it means over here is listim mizuyan. Let's talk about over here. A listim mizuyan, and the sheet of listim mizuyan, he does not go around with a mask, he goes around with a gun. Of course, we had a machloket, whether the very fact that he needs a weapon makes him a gana, but get this. We're going to say over here that indeed the Moches is the real Gazlan, and the Listim we thought was a Ganav, but if he's a Listim Mizuyan, he's also a Gazlan. Of course, in a moment we're going to ask, so why do we need two cases? I mean, if you said Moches and Gazlan, and we understood that really the Gazlan is a Ganav in the context of the Moches, I understand why the Mishnah gives us two cases. But now we're saying that, well, no, actually, the Listim over here means that he's openly stealing, using a machine gun. And it would be going a little bit of Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon says, in that case, we have both people here are Gazlanim, and Gazlanim, indeed, the owner is Miyayish. So it's important, but then why have two cases? Yochiyadu Gazlan. You're right. Technically speaking, that is a Gazlan. Trekavni Gazlan. The Mishnah just gives examples, because, I mean, remember that the truth is that it is a Chiddush, because the list of Bezuyin is a Machlokas. Was it a gun of a Gazan? So the Mishnah wants to tell us now that halacha as well. So it gives us two examples of cases with a Baalim of Bityashim, because Alib and Rabbi Shimon, this is a case with a Meyayish. But I've got no problem, says Rabbi with the Mishnah. It's going Alib and Rabbi Shimon. Okay, let me ask you this case. How about Tashma? Haganava Gazan veHa'anas. The Anas takes things and he forces the guy to pay, to accept payment for them. Now, it's in these cases, the halacha is, says the Mishnah, that they own it. Hekdesh and Hekdesh, Trumatan Truma, Masrotayim Maaser. Now explain to me how they own it. I mean, money, Irabbanan. Says over here, Gazlan owns it? I thought the Rabbanan said the Gazlan, the Baalim figures will recover. Irabbi Shimon, the Ganev owns it? I thought the Baalim holds out hope that the cops will find the Ganev and he'll get it back. So then the Mishnah doesn't work out according to anybody. So then money, Matanitin. So you see, I mean, if according to Ula, it's not a problem. Ula would say, well, clearly the Mishnah is making it dafka this way to say both Ganav and Gazlan, so that we should know that biyadua, everybody is made, that you're Kona. So then he would say the Mishnah is referring to Yadua, Vidivri Akoli. Elala Rabba, the Yomar biyadua, Nami Machlokes. But Rabba closes that avenue off. So how's he going to run the Mishnah? The Mishnah sets up two cases of Ganav and Gazlan, and now bidafka showing you that it doesn't work out. Go explain that Mishnah. Says Rava, it's not a problem. Because Hachanami Belisti Mizuyan, and in fact, all Mishnah is going about Rabbi Shimon. So then I ask you, what's the point to say Ganav and Gazlan? If the Gazlan over here, what we really mean is that he's a Listi Mizuyan. So then we have two cases? Is that what you're saying? We're calling him a Ganav? No. It's just Trey Gavni Gazlan. That's all. It's just a way of referring to him. Whether he's an armed robber, or whether he's the masked highwayman, yeah, it's the same case. Iboy Tema. Oh, you know what? There's always another way out of this whole business. It could be going on Libra Rebbe. The Tanya Rebbe Omer Gadnaf Ki Gazlan. Rebbe disagrees with all things. We have a Tana, in fact, that says there's no difference between a Ganav and a Gazlan. Of course, we don't know what that means. There's no difference and both are not Miyayish, or there's no difference and both are Miyayish. Is it going like the Chachabi, or is it going like Rebbe Shimon? Okay, that we'll see in a moment. But Lamaisa, it could work out a little bit of Rebbe. Detanya Rebbe Omer Ganavki Gazlan, and in the end of the Sugya, we're going to forget about this in a moment, but let's pretend that we know it now. In the end of the Sugya, we're going to come out that when Rebbe said that he's a Ganav is like a Gazlan, he meant that the Ganav is like the Gazlan that Rebbe Shimon held. Rebbe Shimon's opinion about the Gazlan is that he's Ganav, because the Balamar Miyayish. So that's what he was saying. That no, even the Ganav is like the Gazlan. Which explains why the Mishnah would say, I don't care if he's a Ganav, I don't care if he's a Gazlan, Balamar Miyayishim, and therefore the one who did the robbery, he's the one that his Kain is able to be Magdish, take off Trubas and Meisers and so on.
No,
of course. Absolutely. Well, we saw the both Sivra all giving tzedakah. The Europeans all working, walking out of Durban, making a real, you know, while the country goes to the anti-Semite.
Made of.
Gufa. Let's pretend we don't know this. We're getting back to Rebbe, and then we'll figure out how we know it. So Gufa, Rebbe Omer, I say Omer ani ganav ki gazlan. But what does that mean? Ibailo. Do you mean a ganav has the same din as a Gazlan, the Rabbonin, and the Rabbonin, all the Gazlan is in Cana. So my Kiddush is that even a Ganav is in Cana. In both cases, the guy holds out hope, either because the police will find the Ganav, or because he'll be able to recover the Gazlan in court. So that would mean in neither case would he be Kona, and therefore he could not be Kovea Hegdish Trumas and Isis. O Dilma ki Gazad Rabbi Shimon Kamar, as he's saying, I hope that even the Ganav that you claim is not going to be a Miyayish, I say it's no different than the Gazlan. So that Rabbi Shimon, just like Rabbi Shimon says, by the Gazlan he's Miyayish, it's even true by the Ganav he's Miyayish, because he figures the cops never find anybody anyway. In which case, he would be Kaina. Of course, a moment ago we took for granted that that's because we looked ahead. Was it the Kaina one? We're going to come out that way. But getting back to, and how did we come out with that? So Tashma, let's see if we can bring a riot. Our mission, Natlum Mochsim Chamorah, etc., etc., etc. Now, assuming that we disagree with Ula, I mean, obviously, if we agree with Ula, we can't bring a riot from our mission to anything, because we know that Aliba de Ula, the mission could simply be talking about where we heard that it was Miyayish. But according to Rabba, that's not going to help you, because even if you heard Aliba de Rabba, that it was Miyayish, the point is, according to Rabba, the words don't mean anything. Because we understand his response, the psychological motivations of his response, are not true Yush. So then, assuming that Rabba is right, then there's no way to learn the Mishnah, according to either the Rabbanan or Rebbe Shimon. And basically, we're just going to run through now the Rayas with our Mishnah, the Orot that we did before. We're going to run through it the same way we did before we knew Rebbe, to prove Ula, because that was the only alternative we had then. I'll leave it to Rabba, we're going to ignore Ula, and run through the Mishnayos to prove what direction Rebbe was going in, because we don't have any option to learn the Mishnah, unless Rebbe means that it's Kigazah to Rebbe Shimon. But of course, that's how we end up coming on. In other words, the Teretz as the alternative that Rabba used to explain why you shouldn't bring a Raya to Ula from the Mishnayos is precisely the mirror image of what's happening now. What we're doing now is trying to figure out, how do we know what Rebbe meant when he said that the Ganav is Kigazlan? Did he mean like Rebbe Shimon? Well, of course he must have, because otherwise who's the Mishnah going according to? So it's sort of like a tautology, given that we're going like Rabba. So obviously this is what Rebbe means, because this would be Rebbe's alternative, because as an alternative, because Ula doesn't exist. Yeah, according to Ula, this is the way it does not understand. According to Ula, we don't have any right at all. Maybe Rebbe indeed argued on the whole thing. So let's take a look at it. We'll just run through it now because it's completely repetitious. The sugya that we had a moment ago at the bottom of the Aleph. So Tashma, Notlu Moksim Chamorot, etc., etc. Question, money, Rabban Akash Gazan, Rabbi Shimakash Ganev. So now, before we said, if you'll hold like Ula, everything makes sense. Okay. We don't believe in Ula here. So here we say, if you hold that Rebbe is saying, Kegazan the Rebbe Shimon, which would mean that the Bailam are Bet Yashim, and he would be Kaina, so then our mission works out. It's going according to Rebbe, and Mishumachi Kani. And you're right. It's not the Rabbanan. You're right. It's not Rebbe Shimon. It is Rebbe. So Rebbe offers an alternative. But if Rebbe is not an alternative, because Rebbe is saying that no, on the contrary, nobody would be miyayish, so then it's hopeless. All money. It's not going to Rebbe. It's not going to Rebbe Shimon. It's not going to Rabbanan. According to Rebbe, neither case is miyayish. According to the Rabbanan and Rebbe Shimon, only one of the cases is miyayish. And the Mishnah says both are miyayish. And again, the way that we can disprove this proof is by saying, well, maybe it's talking about at least the Mizraim, and it's going a little bit of Rebbe Shimon. But then you're just repeating yourself. You're saying a Mokesh is a Goslin, and a Goslin is a Goslin. So what's the point of that? Well, like we said before, Naman Aleph, Trey Gavni Goslin. Okay, now let's run through the other proof. Tashma, Haganav, Hagazlan, Van, Asek, Deshad, Egdesh, Trumatan, Trumah, Masrutan, Maser. Once again, who are we going like? You're Rabbanan Kashi Goslin, Rebbe Shimon Kashi Gana. Once again, if you don't believe Ula exists an alternative, so then if you hold Bishleimat Bishleimat that a Ganav, what Rebbe meant was Ganav Kegazet Rebbe Shimon Ka'amah, we now have an alternative. Because neither of them would have a problem of being Magdish because you're Kaina. In both cases, you have Yush. Eliyamr Ganav Kegazet Rabbona, and not the case of a Ganav, and not the case of a Gazet would bring Yush. So then how in the world can they be Magdish, and how could they be taking off Trumas and Maestras, both cases? Rebbe holds neither case. Rabban and Rebbe Shimon hold one of two cases. It's all money. Well, once again, we will answer like we did in Naman Aleph. Not a Raya, because we could say it's listed in Israel. It's going to go according to Rebbe Shimon. And once again, we ask the same question, it's repetitious, because then Hainu Gazan. And once again, we answer Trey Gavni Gazan. Omele Ravashi L'Rabba, I'll bring your Raya, baby. Toshma. The Matni Rebbe or Rebbe Shimon Berei, remember, Rebbe teaching Rebbe Shimon back in the first Mishnah, that when it said, if it's a Davar Sheyesh Bo Achrayut, says Rebbe, I don't misunderstand that to mean the way that silly Braita, Rebbe Shai, understands it, that it means Achrayut Nechasim. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean Davar Sheyesh Bo Achrayut Mamash. I'm referring to real estate, referring to something that is recognizably the item that was stolen, that everybody will keep referring to as the piebald shore that was stolen by so-and-so. Ela afilu para v'choresh b'chamor u'mechamir acharav chayavim la'achzir mipnei kivod aviyem. That's the time of mipnei kivod aviyem. I ask you, Rabbi dear, who's the Mishnah? What's the Mishnah saying? This is Rebbe. Now let's make it clear. So Rebbe is saying that the Mishnah is saying that it's only a chiyuv for the yorshim to be matzer because of kvod avihem. But if it wouldn't be for kvod avihem, the din was that they were korna because there was yush. That means that Rebbe holds that at least one of the cases is yush. But Rebbe says the ganav kigazlan. Obviously, he means that the ganav is kigazlan, like Rebbe Shimon, and the guy is miyayish. Said in both cases, miyayish. Ha! Shmamina. Indeed, that is a proof. That's what the Gemara was referring to earlier, that Rebbe, Kaimalan, in the end, we have a Shmamina. That what he means is that both cases are miyayish, because he's saying, Ganav ki gazlan to Rebbe Shimon. And now, we indeed settle with that proof. So now it turns out that we have three shittot that argue about what the din is by Ganav, what the din is by Gazlan, and we have a machloket in two of the shittot, whether if we know for a fact that the guy said he's miyayish, did he really mean he was miyayish then, whatever case he said it? Or are we so certain about the workings of his mind that, again, it's amazing that we're so certain, since we're certain in opposite directions, but we're so certain about the workings of his mind that it doesn't mean what he says. Now, the next case we had in the Mishnah, v'chein, and this would be true as well, of a swarming beehive. What do you mean? V'chein. I mean, it's the same case. I don't understand what you're saying. Why are you saying v'chein? I'll tell you why. Because a nechil shel devarim, actually, if you think about it, in terms of the classic definition of ownership, it's like attempting to own intellectual rights.
Intellectual rights?
Yes. Intellectual rights have a tendency to swarm, meaning they settle in somebody else's MP3 player. So how in the world are you going to be an owner over something that swarms? There's no way for you to contain your supposed ownership.
Social networks.
What's that? If that's the case, Midiyoraita, you can't own it because you can't control it. So if there's no way to assert ba'alut, there is no way to be an owner. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that a nechil of devorim was given a kinyan derabbanan, in contradistinction to the cases that we had up until then that were talking about real ownership, where you have a chamor, you have a para, you do not have ownership on a nechil shel devorim. By the way, it's a remarkable metaphor, because nothing comes closer to the idea of intelligence than a nechil shel devorim, right? You have units that are acting in an intelligent fashion, which has nothing to do with the information in each piece. It's the very fact that an Achil is intelligent that you can't control it, because it goes elsewhere. Yes, Abba's very excited. One moment. We've got to hear this. Just one moment here. Speak up, Abba. We got you.
You put a virus in the whatever your intellectual property, and you can push the button and destroy the property. Is that control over it?
Every virus has an antivirus.
So the answer is
there's no control. Something that you can't keep for yourself is not really yours. You understand the point that Abba is bringing up? Bringing an excellent point. How about if you can't control it, but you can make sure that nobody else gets it? A kina is kina kinyan. That's how Kayin started off. Kayin was Makane and became the Konan of everything. So that's the question. Is kina itself sufficient? If I can't have it, neither will you. A different level of ownership, you know. Modern sense of ownership. Not exactly husbandry. Or perhaps it is. Okay. But a hive doesn't exist. It's a construct. Bees construct it all the time. Not when they swarm and they're not inside. They go build another hive somewhere in your eaves. So I might have thought that since the whole thing is a kinyan derabbanan, so sankadai techamina, I keep it rabbanu be'alma konile. I feel a stoma nami miyayish. Kamashmam im nityashua balimini lo lo. You see, I would have thought that perhaps the issue over here is that the rabbanu are not going to be that machmir on it, that if lamaisa does swarm, that we shouldn't say that it's okay, that's already no ownership. That's already you. Kamashmam, once the rabbanu gave you the kinyan of the nechil, it's no different than the case of the actual thing that you want. Omer Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, ne'emenet isha v'katana, and where do we get this from? Isha v'katan b'nei edut nino? We want to take away money on the basis of the testimony of an isha v'katan, which is not acceptable anywhere else. Why is it acceptable here? Omer Rabbi Yochanan ben Shmuelach ma'eskinan, kigon shayu ba'alim ratfim achareihem, v'isha v'katan b'sichin lefi tumam, v'omer mikan yatsa nechil ze. We're not saying that it's a question of testimony where they walk into court. What we're trying to say is that in circumstances where it's evident, so ever aglayim ladaver, on the circumstances that a guy who's chasing after his hive and the kids in the neighborhood are running after, whoopee, there goes Joe's hive, he's trying to catch the hive, that simply is an indication that it's his. Omer Avashi, you should know that this concept of Mesiach Lefi Tuma as an indication of reality in cases where it's not being used as testimony. The only time it's kosher is for Edut Isha. Now we know that the Rabbanu were making a special case of Edut Isha in which children are just discussing having come from so-and-so's funeral. And on that basis, we can assume that the guy is dead. That was a special takana because the Isha herself is bodeket, and because of the chumra that were machmir in case she did not make a proper investigation. She's going to end up losing everything. So we believe her. But nowhere else. Amar le Ravina le Ravash, what do you mean nowhere else? What about the case of the Mishnah in Baba Kama about an Echil Shel Dvorim? And we understood that to be a case of Mesiach Lefi Tumahu. I mean, nowhere else do you write. I mean, the Shani Echil Shel Dvorim, the Kinyan Rabbanano. I was saying there's nowhere where the halach of Mesiach Lefi Tumahu would be relevant to an Isser D'oraita. And the din of stealing, so to speak, a Nechil Shel Dvorim is an Isser D'rabbanan, because you don't really own a Nechil Shel Dvorim. What, the D'oraita low? The Omer of Yerom Shmuel, Ba'aseb Adam Echad, Shaya Mesiach Lefi Tumo, well, it's a famous case. A guy was talking, Stanis is a Chreniker, Shani Tinok, Umer Kavniak Tefo Shel Abba. I remember when I was a kid, wow, it was really exciting. My father came, gate to school, takes me out of school, puts me on his shoulders. Hotzieni mi beit hasefer. That's something you can't forget, you know. If shituni et kitanti v'piluni lachot truma l'arav, there he strips me, throws me into a mikveh to feed me truma at night. And Rabbi Chanina said, he also said, Mesai Bahaki, and the whole classroom, chaveri medili mimeni, nobody would come close to me, not to be batame me. Are you korino ti yochanan ochel chalot? They called me Joe the Chal Eater.
So, is it derogatory or complimentary?
No, it could be complimentary even. But in any event, based on that, Hasachalafi two moments, it can't be made on himself. Hello, Rebbe Lakuna Apiv. Is it based on this? He considered me a Kohen. That's Yoraita, isn't it? No, of course not. It's talking about a Truma de Rabbona. Still, you're insisting that Messiah Lefi Tumo is not applicable to this Yoraita. Yakati Yoraita lo, Vakiata, Rav Dimi Amr of Chana Kartigna, or something was Rav Acha Kartigna, that Mishtoi, we were saying over that a Maase Balifne Rebbe Yeshua Ben Levi, or some say it was a Maase that was Balifne Rebbe, but Tinoke Chacha, Messiah Lefi Tumo, the Amar said, oh man, what we went through, those Somali pirates, it was unbelievable. Yatzati lishov mayim, dati ali mi. Listen, I didn't go away for like 10 seconds, constantly paying attention to what was going on over there, make sure that they didn't touch my mother. Milkot etzim, dati ali mi, based on his testimony, says, it's not really testimony. He see a Rebbe Apiv Lakuna. So that was certainly, an Isser Zona. If, in fact, she had been raped by those Somali pirates, she wouldn't have been kosher lakuna. Rebbe allowed her to marry a Kohen. You certainly can't say that's a drabona. Yes, but remember, that's very similar to the case of Isha. This is Shvuya. So we're looking for the kulais that allow women to get married. Okay, that's because of Shvuya Ikilo. There's many reasons to be made by Shvuya. It's not an Isser to everyone. This is specifically to a Kohen. And we say that a woman makes herself unattractive to her captors. And then there's the whole issue of they want to get money for her, and therefore they want her, to a Somali. He's not going to pay money for a woman who was raped, so he figures neither will her husband. He'll just throw her out. So he certainly doesn't want to ruin her. So, we have reasons that we discussed in Yevamot to be maker. Getting back now to our sugya. So the Mishnah continues to say, you cannot cut off a branch with a hive. You've got to take the hive itself. Tani Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broko Omer, it's actually a tnai beidin. She yoreda toch sadeh shel chavero v'kotzei tzocho shel chavero l'atzil et nechila. You can go into your friend's field where a swarm has settled, cut down the actual branch in order to save that, and then you'll pay the guy. V'notel demei tzocho mitoch nechilo shel chavero. You can actually take now, this guy gets the value from the value of the hive directly. So he gets like a apotheke on the hive. Which is beitinu. There's another case similar where a person is in a matzav where he sees someone's container of dvash, which is very expensive, break, and it's leaking out, and all he has is a container of wine. If it wouldn't be for the tznai beitin, if you want to be kind enough to pour out your wine and save the guy's dvash, he'll give you a big yashikah. Wow, this is really a good citizen. Everybody can learn from you. I said everybody can learn from you, and I'll pat you on the back too if you want. Exactly. So therefore, we made a takona to allow him to get his money back out of the dvash that he actually saved. So sheheh shofechi eino matzil et duvshano shel chavero v'notel d'mei eino mitoch duvshano shel chavero. And there's furthermore a case where a guy's driving along and his truck is loaded down with wood, and he finds that somebody else's truck is broken down with pishtan, which is worth much more. So he's mifarek et eitzav v'toin pishtano shechavero, but he's allowed to keep the value of the eitzim out of the pishtan shechavero. These were tnaim shamanat kenim tzul Yoshua l'Yisrael et ha'aretz. They're part of the original social contract that gave rights to Nachalat Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it's not considered to be invasive to go into another guy's field and cut down a tree. This was the understanding, that these things are part of what it will cost us to settle this country.